What's up, chingona?
What up, cabrona?
So today we have really special guests.
Super special guests.
We want
guests.
Them to introduce themselves. They're our favorite queer boys. We love y'all. Introduce yourselves.
Gang, gang.
Gang, gang.
My name is Cordarium.
We love you.
I'm black and gay, so.
That had to come out soon, yeah.
Hi, I'm Tony. I'm Latino and gay.
Tony Ravioli.
And we love you. Anyways, yeah, so we want to introduce them because today we have a very special episode. We're going to be going over
RuPaul's Drag Race.
And your fave. Yes.
Valentina, all the way.
Fuck yes. You're going to tell us why later.
Topic of the day.
I am barely catching up because of Latinos Who Lunch and because of you.
They made it seem like they kind of opened my mind a lot. Latinos Who Lunch, shout out to them.
Oh my god, to everything, right?
Of how much it meant, you know what I mean? Because for me, it was like, okay, yeah, they're funny, they're great, they're fabulous. But then it was just kind of like a deeper meaning, like, this is like a culture. This is like, you know, breaking down certain walls and shit like that. So
I listened to one podcast and they were talking about the piñatas. I did not know it was that much. And for like history of behind it.
Oh, Latinos? Okay.
Yeah, like, yeah, because they were talking about how they like represent the seven deadly sins, and I always thought that was interesting. So I was like, oh, okay, y'all are like.
They go deep into shit.
Yeah, I like
because it's an art historian and it's an artist.
And an artist, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I found all cultures to be interesting in some way.
I think so, we all have that.
I came up with a mashup name in case our dreams come true and we ever have a mashup with them. It's Latinos Who Chingan.
Oh!
Oh, shit.
Latinos Who Chingan, that's perfect, girl.
Yeah, so in case we ever meet up with them. But yeah, I'm really excited because we let out our first podcast and Tony responded and talked about RuPaul.
He made an incredibly important point that we were not highlighting.
Yeah, so I was like, you know, we don't watch it enough. I love RuPaul's Drag Race, but I don't watch it enough. So I was
We're recent to it. We're new.
Yeah. So here, who are my two favorite people? Yeah, I'm missing a lot.
Y'all haven't like, it was this season. I'm kind of like, I like it, but like, there's a lot of previous seasons that are like great.
Oh yeah, this season was really good. Like at first I was iffy about it, but once I met Valentina, which was the first queen that they introduced into the show. I fell in love. I was so obsessed with her. I'm still obsessed with her now, even though, spoiler alert, she's not in the race anymore.
But she means a lot more to you than she would mean to Cordarian, because she's like this Mexican, like, drag queen.
Of course, yeah.
So she is Mexican.
Yeah.
Well, okay. She's Chicana. She was born here in the States, and her parents come from Mexico. So she, during her look, she represented a lot of Latino culture, and it was just beautiful. She did it beautifully. It was just obviously amazing.
And she's not the first, right? Like, there's a lot of drag queens that have represented like their separate cultures. Not in that way, really. Because I always felt like the one that was in the same season as Kimchi, the one that was from Louisiana, I was like, oh wow, she's doing that shit.
Oh, well, I mean, okay, so like, because she's not the first Latina person on the cast.
Obviously, yeah.
But like, because there's been a lot of Puerto Ricans, like I think there's been at least six or seven.
And they explain that because it's a big part of Puerto Rican culture. It's very big in their culture.
Yeah, because I mean, a lot of it started from New York, which is I get it. But like, she's probably the first one to actually put actual like iconic things from like different like from Latin culture into her drag.
Her mariachi look.
She's the only one who has done that
right off the bat. Well, I mean,
wait, she has a mariachi look.
Okay, so the very first episode, which I watched today because I don't want to be completely ignorant, they have a thing where it's like, okay, do an outfit that represents where you come from. And then, of course, it was like 20 people from New York. Mm-hmm. And then it's her who is this. Yeah, so there's this one who's from like Mexico or whatever. And she did the mariachi thing, and she did it beautifully. I will say it's beautiful.
Her matador look was amazing to me. Her Virgin Mary look was great, too.
She had a Virgin Mary look?
Dude, yeah. She was.
Yo, that's super important if you're Mexican.
All out.
Yeah, because like, she came out. It was like a wedding gown / Virgin Mary, and it was gorgeous.
She did it. It was paying homage to her mother. And she said that it was basically her mother's wedding dress.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I think, and she was very new to the game, so that's the first thing that surprised me, because I'd heard so much about Valentina, and I watched this first episode today, and she was 10 months in, and she was already on RuPaul's Drag Race. The rest of these bitches have been there for 10 years.
She said that she did it 10 months, but she has been doing drag for years. She just never did it
officially.
So, she never performed it.
She never performed or, like, came out as a drag.
Yeah. Either way, I mean, she's...
Either way, 10 months of performing is, like, it's very little time to get out on the scene and get recognized.
That's amazing.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Not many people do that. Someone else did it, though. Like, I think Violet... Was it Violet Chachki? Who was not in the game for long. She was in the game for a couple years, and she...
But she didn't last.
It was Tyra.
Tyra Sanchez?
I think she was in the game for, like, maybe a year or two before she... And she won.
You know who I can compare Valentina to? It's Kimchi from the previous season. Because Kimchi did a lot to kind of represent her background.
The same thing Valentina did with her dress.
Yeah, like, she paid a lot of homage to, like, her culture and stuff like that. So I think that's a really good person to compare it to. And I loved Kimchi. I've met Kimchi.
She's so sweet.
She seems like a sweetheart. Yeah, absolutely. I loved her character. I was rooting for her. And I knew that all the other people, like, they had all these other things going on. But Kimchi, like, had a place in my heart, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Because she's the first... Because there's been Asian people on the show. But I think she was the first one to kind of do it and, like...
Be proud.
Integrate all of it together. Her knowledge in there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and acknowledge that identity. I think that's super important, like, acknowledging your identity.
Not just in reality TV, like RuPaul, but everywhere. We talk about that constantly.
She gives me anime for real. Like, I watch a lot of anime, and she's, like... She
serving
does
realness.
She's, yeah, serving
she
realness.
Does she does it.
I'm really glad that we got you guys on. And I'm glad that I fucking know you guys to even be able to talk about this, because I got really lucky.
I want y'all to watch previous seasons, though, because, like, this season, I have three favorites.
I'm on season 7.
Well, you know, you're the one. All of RuPaul that I've watched with you. So you introduced me to this last season with Kimchi and Bob the Drag Queen, who I love Bob so much.
I fucking love Bob.
And then we started watching a little bit of the season that had Adore Delano in it, because I'm a fan
of
Adore.
That was one of the...
I know, apparently it wasn't that great, but I love Adore.
No, that season was great. That season was really good. The season that got, like...
Who's the girl that won that season? Because she did amazing.
Bianca Del Rio.
Bianca Del Rio. She's a name.
She's, I love her. She's been in the game forever. Like, she's like a legend in that community.
Yeah. So. But Adore Delano, I just loved her from her YouTube video, so that's why I wanted to watch that season. But yeah.
Yeah, she definitely had, like, a charming personality.
I believe she's Chicana as well.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, yeah, I believe so too, yeah. Bianca Del Rio.
Bianca, she's Honduran, and what else?
I don't know, she's from New Orleans. That's all I know. And she does, like, I really don't like her comedy too much. Like, she does, like, that whole, like, insult comic. And I'm not really into that.
Oh, I love that. I'm not gonna lie, I fucking love that shit.
It's just, sometimes I'm just like, I really don't care. It's not that clever. Even though she can be generally funny, you know?
Right.
Like, I laugh at some of her shit, so.
Well, I mean, we're gonna probably continue talking about Valentina, but what about you, Cordarian? Who do you think kind of represented, you know, or, like, meant a lot more to you
in the seasons? Over the years? I mean, I like a lot of them. Like,
I know you loved Bob because you said Purse First for, like, a year.
First of all, that song is catchy. That song is everything. Oh, yeah. No, but actually, like, he's one of my favorites, definitely. But also, like, Raja. I think he's Indonesian.
Yeah, she is.
He is great. So, like, he's very fashion. Also, like, Sharon Needles. She's very goth, and she's very, like... She kind of was, like, the first... She broke a mold. Like, she actually... Because when she came in, a lot of people were just like, oh, I don't... You know, they're usually, like, the pageant... type shit, and, like, the just, like, pretty, and she kind of did, like, this whole spooky type of thing, and, like, she kind of started, like, a wave of, like, people being, like,
who more they diverse were. Queens.
Yeah, more diverse people.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I haven't really seen a whole lot of seasons, but what I liked, or what I thought that the first season that I watched was last season, and that season what I thought it lacked was bigger queens, because when I've seen drag, you know, like, shows in real life, I've always seen big drag queens, like, they're big, they're bigger, and I love that, because I'm bigger, you know what I mean?
The most recognizable is probably Latrice Royale.
But they've kind of limited, like, it's only, like, one or two per season now, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, it's kind of always been that way.
Yeah. I thought I saw, like, in the more earlier seasons, there was more.
The first one, I think, I'll say Pork Chop.
Yeah, Pork Chop, yeah. I would say Thick, because there's a difference between Thick
and,
like,
last season, and I don't consider her a big queen, but, like, the closest thing that they had last season was Kimchi.
Yeah.
And that she's not even really a big queen. So.
Yeah, she just
had big outfits.
She has more
outfits,
you know, to move around with.
More to love.
So
the fucking MySpace description. More to love.
But I feel like overall it's a pretty diverse show. They have, like, a lot of
definitely.
Different
like,
types
they represent
of
the winners.
Lot. Yeah.
All the winners are diverse. Like, there's
probably a winner for every... I think there's not a Latino winner yet. It could have been.
There haven't been?
I mean, Bianca Del Rio.
Oh, Bianca Del Rio.
But yeah.
See, they could have been Valentina.
But it really could have been. She fucked up.
Wait, Ruth said that too?
Ruth said yeah. I like when she was eliminated.
Because this is the thing. Like whenever
did she retire moment?
Sort of like everyone was disappointed that Rue didn't, you know, have a bigger speech for her. All she said was like, "I had that. I thought you had all the stuff to go all the way."
It was a Tyra moment. Like, we were all rooting for you.
We were rooting for you.
She did have a Tyra moment
because we were all rooting for her.
But like the thing is, I think if they had forgiven, because that episode that she got kicked off from, what I've heard. She messed up and fucked out about
she
it.
She did. She fucked up.
So it's
she
like, did. Honestly, if it was her fault. If they had gone back on, because everybody, even RuPaul, like you said, they all thought that, you know, she deserved to go farther, that she would have gone all the way. But how can they go back on their whole lip sync battle? You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like, if they had, you know, she clearly lost that lip sync battle. There's she no did. Doubt about it, right?
Yeah.
She clearly deserved to be in the bottom two. So then it's like, how can they go back on that? How can they be like, Valentina has so much potential, so I'm gonna choose her over this other girl who did amazing during her lip sync, you know what I mean? So you can't really blame RuPaul for kicking her off.
Yeah, I mean, no, she had no choice. Probably one of the worst ever.
Yeah, because people don't typically forget the words.
No, because she had a mask on, like a little veil, I guess, so you want to call it at first, and
she wouldn't take it off.
She was like, I'd rather keep it on.
Which I heard she had a pretty good excuse. Like, she didn't do her face underneath. She didn't.
That's an excuse because it's a lip sync. Like, RuPaul.
Yeah. So people always, they end up taking off their wigs. Yeah. They take off this and that.
Yeah, well, I mean, she don't really like you to take off your wig unless you got another one underneath.
Like Roxy.
Right. Yeah,
like
Roxy. Because
that was a badass moment.
Anyways, it doesn't really matter. The point is that, you know.
Yeah, because
you can't. As mad as you are, you understand what happened.
Yeah. I can usually pick the top maybe five from the first episode because they're that like distinctive, and two of them actually left, like Nina Bonina Brown. Actually, I loved her because she has like depression issues, but her makeup, like her ability to transfer her face, like she can turn her face that into peach? anything. Yeah, that
when,
shit was,
when she first came out in that peach, oh my
she
god
left?
She's one of those people who are just like,
she's like, everyone's out to get me.
Yeah,
that peach was very impressive. Everybody was like, and they loved that cute little dress that she wore with it. Yeah, I remember that.
But I also feel like this season they didn't let a lot of them do their own drag. Really, they had very because you usually have categories like, you know, I want you to do this. I feel like these categories are like a little more strict.
They're more restricted, really.
More restrictive.
I haven't seen enough of it, but
because a lot of times they're just like, oh, just have this theme, but you can do whatever you want, and then, you know, people kind of take it and make it themselves. But this season,
can we pause for a second and talk about Lady Gaga? On that first
episode. Oh my god, that was everything.
I loved it so much. She walked in.
I did not get 80 fucks.
And like,
How can you not?
Because she just had nothing else to do.
No, but she did really well. Lady Gaga did really well.
What was that?
It was good.
Drama.
It was good. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm a Lady Gaga fan.
Don't come for her.
Do not come
for Mother Monster like that.
No. But just in this first,
fan.
I'm talking about her.
Lady Gaga had right now, okay? Don't get it.
I appreciate, because she based a lot of her own looks off of drag culture.
She didn't deny that, though.
But it was kind of just like, you know.
No, but, okay, so the reason that I liked it so much, she has done drag before, like, where she dresses like a guy.
Jill Calderon.
For one.
Yeah, she was a drag queen.
And then, plus the fact that she really does inspire a lot of people, because, like,
she's
especially,
a former S4.
Especially in previous years, she has done, like, some crazy outfits and gone all on out.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She does what RuPaul does, or she used to do what RuPaul does.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know. It was really cool to have her on.
I guess I didn't like the part when she kind of came in and she was kind of like critiquing. Like, she was giving like notes on because there's like
Untucked?
Two Untucked. There's like
oh,
two.
I haven't seen Untucked that.
There's like There's like the show, and then there's Untucked, which is like whenever the judges are deliberating, they go in the back and they like talk about it. And she kind of came back there and she was kind of like, okay, well, I'm just gonna kind of like critique you more. Like, you need to do this. Or you're like good at this and this. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I just feel like she didn't really add anything other than just being a gay icon.
Well, okay, so Tony has a counter argument. Go ahead.
I mean, go ahead. That is fine. It's
personal
opinion.
I mean, like, counter argue, because I've only seen the first episode and I did not see Untucked, but I love just having her on the show, and I know that she meant a lot to these drag queens.
Yeah, especially Eureka when she broke down.
She's meant a lot of people, you know, like you said, she's a gay icon.
She's definitely a legend in her own right.
Or yeah, or at least she is to certain people. But go on, Tony, what's your counter argument?
Well, I see what you're saying about when she went in on Untucked, mm-hmm. and she was just giving them notes. So you need, yeah, she really didn't. I do believe that.
Okay.
But her being there was like legendary.
I guess, but see, at the same time,
everyone was waiting for that.
I'm a certain type of gay, and
she
I
was
just
a good
care.
Opening scene. Like, I mean, like, mm-hmm. in a script, I'm taking it back to like my own perspective. In the script, first 10 pages, you have to blow people away or hook them somehow. Gaga hooked them somehow.
That was the hook for season 9.
Gaga hooked. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she probably could have came on there before the season. I guess because the way I look at it, I guess why I'm looking at it, because now that it became more mainstream, now she appears. That's kind of like.
Well, I mean, at the same time, she was touring a lot. Like, this is kind of, and then
no,
she did
No, this
bitch
has AHS. Not had, I mean, after pop, art pop,
don't.
Art
she's
flop.
She's done.
Don't.
She's done a lot.
I actually love art pop while I'm being
She
shaded.
Did art pop. She did that her little album Christmas album with, like, what's
Tony.
His face? With,
I like yeah, DUI. God, was my favorite song.
She's done a lot of stuff, and then she did American Horror Story. So,
oh, God, yeah, yes.
This was the time when she had time.
I mean, yeah, I guess I'm just being... I just
petty. Petty. Being rude.
This is going to be a Beyonce situation
for
where
me,
you, at first
I'm
you don't
just
like
very
it.
Just like... It was just like, okay, you know. It was cute. She probably was the biggest... She definitely was the biggest star to ever be on the show. For sure, because everybody else was probably like,
Lovato,
I mean, they had Megan
Trainor
on there, who I was kind of like, girl, why'd you come out here in a pajama suit? Little
bitch? Who, it's fine. Megan Trainor, yeah.
Megan Trainor,
like, girl,
what the fuck is she doing on there?
Well, she was on there being a judge. And
she
I was
has
like,
no,
judge,
yeah. she has none no, room it, to be talking about anybody's anything.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry, but no.
I was just kind of like, it was okay. But, you know, she was definitely the biggest star to be on the show.
At least, like
because a lot of the other ones were like old school, like... You know, old school stars who were probably like Broadway or, you know.
But at least it's relevant. Like Gigi Hadid, she's a model. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Megan Trainor ain't shit. I'm sorry.
Oh my
what
God.
The fuck?
Megan Trainor. I came in this way too late. I don't like that.
I don't
exactly.
like her because this is
all
can I talk about
face.
Why I don't like Megan Trainor that much?
Yes.
We'll give you a good 60
this
seconds.
She actually, I like that one, the last song she made out with. That she made.
Okay,
I forgot what it was
about.
Called. So, like, she kind of came out and was like, oh, I embraced my curves and all this stuff. And everybody was just like, yes, do this. Because, you know, feminism
it's
and all that
white
stuff.
White feminism.
Yes.
I'm skipping forward. Because,
like, in my
feminism.
Culture, being thick was always kind of never a problem.
In my culture, it's a big-ass motherfucking problem. But even so, she's not thick. Like, she's, like, barely... She's just, like, average.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's just not skinny.
Yeah, we need some meat.
We need, like, okay, real representation is like, you know, the big drag queens on RuPaul. You know what I mean? Like, she's not my rep. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Hashtag not my rep.
Hey, hashtag not my rev.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she... Yeah, I was kind of just like, okay, she's on it. She came in there with, like, a pajama unicorn suit.
Uh-oh, no.
Oh,
God,
yeah.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
I'm already annoyed.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say
can we talk about the real fit, the real elephant in the room? Alexis Michelle. Can we talk about her?
All right.
Yeah, let's talk about
let's
her.
Let's talk about Alexis Michelle.
Alexis Michelle. You know what I'm talking about on the show? Oh. Alexis Michelle?
Yeah, but, like...
You saw Untucked whenever she, like, did that whole thing about, like... How come you didn't tell me I look bad today?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
she was
bitch.
Coming at the other queens for not coming at her. Like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah. She was basically
this
like,
is
mad
a competition.
At them. Exactly.
This is a competition. I'm going to fucking be like, you look great, girl. You're ugly as fuck, but you look great.
I mean, it's not even that. Because, like, okay, let's talk to see, like, back on track some seasons. Bianca Del Rio was helping other queens out. She held the door.
And a lot of queens help each other out.
Yeah, they always help each other out. But she was just, like, petty about it. Like, you didn't clock me for this, this, and this. And you didn't tell me. Basically, she was like, you didn't tell me what to do. And now I look like crap.
But first of all, she was safe. Like she didn't have to worry about going home. Number two, it was kind of like people help each other, but they don't change their whole costume for other people. They're not gonna be like, you need to wear something different. They're just kind of like, you know, oh, let me help you sew this together. You know, this is the outfit you're gonna wear. I'm going to help you sew this shit together. But she was kind of like, well, you should have told me that I look basic. And I was like, girl, you knew you came out there in a dress and this fake beaver fur jacket. You knew you came out there like that.
Yeah, that was not
like
a
you
cute
knew
look.
You knew how you looked when you came out there.
You have to take your L's, dude. Like, the simple
yeah.
as that.
Take and, all your L's.
Take them.
This is not the first season, so you already know how this
exactly
how
all these
the
unprepared
is.
Queens come into this season, especially like Pheromone. She's mm-hmm. like, I don't know how to sew. Season 9, and how the fuck do you not know how to
we
sew?
We had this conversation already with Adore Delano, like, you don't know how to sew. You know what I mean? Like,
it was before that, because there was a couple people before that didn't know how to sew.
Every season, there's somebody like that.
That doesn't
yeah,
know
and Rue even tells them, they were just like, He's just kind of like, y'all need to get it together.
I feel like it's not that hard either.
Well, I mean, it's probably, I don't know.
It's hard to be good, but you can still do some basic shit.
Yeah, or hot glue the fuck out of it. Do y'all remember Chi-Chi?
Yes, that's what I was talking about, the Louisiana Queen.
Yeah, like, she hot glued the first, like, she came out in this trash bag thing that was, like, had a bodice. Oh, and she hot glued that whole thing together.
I know what you're talking about.
Let me.
I'm not gonna lie, she made me a little, like, emotional when she talked about, like, not having that much money and stuff. See, that's where the representation that I care about comes in so much. Just like, not everybody's fucking rich, not everybody's creativity is harnessed at an early age, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's a definite,
and that's kind of really what I want to touch upon with you guys, because you guys watch this pretty religiously and you love it. Representation and meaningful, like, to your lives, like, that's kind of what I really want to touch on, you know what I mean? Because we talk, me and Cynthia, or I mean Fred Papita, we always talk about what these people mean to us in our lives, and I kind of want to hear that from you guys.
Well, it's definitely great, because for one, I'm gonna say I'm a particular type of person. There's a lot of shit I just don't give a fuck about, because that's just me. But you know, I understand how it's important, because you know, people don't have, like, white and straight people have
a lot,
everything.
Not everything, you know what I mean? But a lot.
They have a lot. It's definitely more than anybody else. Like, it's definitely.
Oh yeah.
I would say 50, I would say at least 70% of TV is geared towards them.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like 90% of the
time. Yeah.
I would say 90. So RuPaul is that place where you kind of escape, and it's no longer about white, straight, cisgendered males.
Oh no.
Yeah. Definitely. It's definitely not.
It's about fucking with gender norms and what we expect of our genders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they actually kind of unveiled, because like with drag queens, cause I had like a lot of friends who didn't understand drag queens. They're just like, oh, do they just want to be women?
I kind of
was like that at the beginning before Drag Race. Like, yeah. I was like, I didn't completely get it. But once I saw Drag Race for the first time, I was like, this is everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you see them take off their wigs and their makeup and their boy.
There's a lot of stigma behind men acting feminine. And it has, you know, it dates back to like this whole thing where it's like being feminine means being weak, being inferior, being all this and this and that. But RuPaul's is just like, these bitches are strong.
They're reclaiming their femininity and reclaiming their power.
And exactly. Like men and women are like people that don't conform to the two things. Like, I think it does so much. Even me, who I'm not a gay man, obviously. Mm-hmm. And most of the people on there are a gay man. But Joe wishes I was a gay man. He'd be all over it. But I think it's great. I think it's great for them to show gay men everywhere, like, fuck what people think about you. You know what I mean? Fuck what people think about you having a higher pitched voice or whatever it is. Like, all this stuff just makes you lovely.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
There's internalized homophobia. There's internalized anti-feminism. Misogyny. There's a lot. Especially in my community, the like lesbian community, bisexual community. Like, it's hard.
It is.
It's hard out here for pimps.
Hard out here for pimps, says Fire Pepita.
It makes you do feel like, for the first part of my life, I did feel like compelled to be like, look a certain type of way or act a certain type of way. Mm-hmm. But then you just learn to kind of like just accept yourself.
Yeah, be who you are and wear not pink give and a fuck. Yeah, like that's me right then now. Wearing more pink, being a little bit more feminine and not giving a fuck.
So did Cameron. Cameron had a pink fur lip.
Oh, right. Because, right.
So, but, I don't know. Props to RuPaul for that. It's been, what, 10 years that it's been on air? Something like that?
10.
Something like 10 years.
Well, RuPaul's been in the game forever, but,
and
you know,
even
RuPaul's
they have
Drag
improved,
Race.
They've improved certain things that were, you know, not so PC.
Problematic.
Within their show. I don't know. I'm just really glad
that
they
did.
Air.
I mean, I get what you're saying. I know
they've improved themselves. They have downplayed some things, but go ahead.
Like, on this season, there's this one part where Valentina was talking about La Virgen de Guadalupe.
Yeah.
And what pissed me off was that all the other queens were making it look like she was fucking crazy. Like, I'm an atheist, but I'm like, I call myself also a guilty Catholic.
You have to, it's embedded in you.
Same, I feel exactly.
Yeah,
it's embedded in
your
fucking culture, your life.
You have the right to express your religion whatever way you want.
Because at some point it becomes a culture.
Exactly, and then Valentina was like, she pulled out her little candle of the Virgen de Guadalupe, and everyone looked at her like she was fucking crazy, and that pissed me off. Like,
let her do her thing. You don't know her life, you know what I mean?
I did not see that. I mean, well, I'm spiritual. I feel like, but I don't try to like tell other people be like
what
me.
To do. Yeah,
yeah.
Like, let the, I don't know, but Yeah, it's little things like that I think that is so lovely about RuPaul. It's so diverse, so great, and in many ways. And Valentina, I think, you know, she embodied a lot of things that
she definitely
other Latina queens haven't done.
Oh, exactly. Absolutely. She was like unapologetically Latina, and it was just fucking amazing. It was
so even because Yara Sofia was very, she was very into her culture.
Americanized though, wasn't she?
Well, she
a lot of them were.
Well, she was born in Puerto Rico, and she had the accent still. I think she probably been. I don't know if she'd been in the States longer. I don't know.
Well, cause, like,
but she definitely didn't show it in her drag.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like so she like was Americanized in the way that she portrayed herself and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
Cynthia Lee Fontaine was as well. She had a very thick accent. She was from Puerto Rico, but the only look she ever really did that was like Latin was the one that sent her home this season.
Sent her home, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was not that good. Because honestly, I'm sorry, but
it lacked authenticity.
No, exactly. I wouldn't say that. I think because what Valentina did was kind of take her tradition and made it modern.
No, but she did that shit well.
She did.
It's just like, because I like fashion, so with fashion, it's all about taking a reference but making it up to date. And Valentina did that.
So what is it? What is it that she says? She says slut, but make it fashion.
yeah.
Culture, but make it fashion. Like, I don't know. I get it. I don't know. But I'm super glad that you guys came on to the show with us
today.
Thank
you for having us.
Oh, thank you for having us.
We love y'all.
I love it.
I would love to have a more... I want to talk about... You got to have a racial episode one day.
We'll have another episode with that. Oh, we'd love to have you guys back.
Tell them to have us back. I want to come
back.
But
I don't know if you guys have social media platforms that you want to plug.
Plug yourselves.
Yes, I do.
You first.
No, I don't have really...
Cordarian has nothing. I know Tony
I have everything. And thanks to... what do you call yourself?
I gave him his name. Tony C. Let's write the letter C. Bear.
Yeah, she created that
on
name.
Everything.
It's literally for everything. Tumblr, Snapchat, Twitter... Anything you can think of, I might
find
have.
Her.
Xbox, yes, I do have Xbox Live.
Literally everything. So he's great in all shapes and forms. Of course, us, we're at CYC Podcast and Fried Papita and Maite Panda. And we're tagged on there, so you can find us there. CYCPodcastMail@gmail.com.
Hit us up, 5 stars only.
Oh, we're on iTunes. Rate us, subscribe, review.
Comment.
Send us hate mail at cycpodcastmail.com.
We'll read it out loud.
At gmail.com, sorry. And if you want to say anything to Cordarian, I'll pass it along through the email as well.
Yeah, because you can follow me on nothing.
You can follow him on nothing. Find him on Grindr, maybe.
Find on everything.
You can find me in the streets. This was fun. Let us know if you want to talk about any specific topics.
We love y'all. Thanks for coming.
Love you so much. Bye. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye. Bye.